Whether you are reading the newspaper or reading your Bible, you will interpret as you read. Will you interpret what you are reading correctly? One of the most important principles of interpretation is to consider the writer's purpose for writing. When we know the purpose for which it is written, we have a better chance of interpreting correctly the written message. Have you ever wondered what is the purpose of the Bible? I once had a graduate course in family therapy. The textbook was a typical family therapy textbook until you read the last chapter of the book. In that last chapter, the authors had begun to write like so-called New Age writers. It was very mystic, very spiritual, but in a secular kind of way. It made me wonder what the real purpose for the book was. Was it just to inform students about family therapy, or was there another purpose, especially for that last chapter? God and His Holy Spirit are the authors of the Bible. Well, why did they write it? What is the purpose of the Bible? The English word Bible never appears in our English translations, except on the cover, of course. But the meaning of the word is quite visible at many places in the Bible. The original language, the Hebrew and the Greek, especially in the Greek word, the word literally means book. We are told that the word biblos was originally the name of the inner part of a stem of the papyrus plant. The inner substance of that plant was removed, dried, and attached to others in order to make paper. And that, of course, provided a surface upon which one could write with ink. Pretty soon, the paper itself began to be called biblos, or book. We find this Greek word many times in the Scriptures. Notice the following instances of this word in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the very first phrase in the New Testament, Matthew starts off by telling his readers about the contents of his writing. Matthew called it the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Well, within that verse, we also get a glimpse into Matthew's purpose for the book. That's right. He wanted people to read about the generation of Jesus Christ, that is, the lifetime of Jesus Christ on the earth, what He did and what He said. And notice particularly the word Christ. That word was a very special word to the Jewish mind. And what Matthew wants his readers to see is that Jesus is the Christ, the one that God sent, the one anointed by God. Well, Matthew tells us about Jesus' miraculous birth, and then he ends his book with Jesus' miraculous ascension back to his heavenly Father. Matthew wanted us to hear the teaching of Christ, and so he puts in this book a lot of the teaching of Jesus Christ that you and I know. And for what purpose did he expose us to this teaching? So that it could change our lives. So that the readers could be like a man who built his house upon the rock instead of sand. Matthew quoted Jesus as saying, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Matthew 7, 24-27. Well, Matthew also wanted his readers to know that Jesus' life was the subject of prophets. These prophets had lived hundreds of years before Jesus was born. These Jewish prophets predicted Jesus' coming. They wrote their predictions in that collection of books called the Old Testament. Several men predicted many things about Jesus' life, including His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. Those prophets of old also foresaw Jesus' second coming, which is still in our future. Those prophets who predicted these things about the life of Christ wrote the prophecies down so that readers could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Apostle John said it this way about the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. John 12:41. Well, Jesus himself spoke about the books in the Old Testament. Jesus was talking about the resurrection of the dead when he said, "As touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob?" Mark 12:26. Jesus was referring to Moses' book that we call the book of Exodus. Jesus said that that reference in Exodus proved that God will raise the dead. That's right. God used the present tense when he spoke to Moses and said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Jesus concluded that since God is not the God of the dead, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still alive somewhere. And since they are alive, they will be reunited with the resurrected body when Jesus comes again. Friends, don't you know that the reason that God preserved that in the book of Moses was because it would open the eyes of people in later generations about the eternal spirit in mankind? You see, there was a purpose why Moses was inspired to write that line. In the book of Philippians, we read of another book. The apostle wrote, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." These ladies were in disagreement of some sort. Sounds like some church members today, does it not? "I entreat Euodia, I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Philippians 4:2-3. Evidently, this book of life contains a list of names of people who have believed and obeyed Jesus, the Son of God. This book is mentioned twice more in the book of Revelation. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment," Jesus said, "and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 3:5. Again, in Revelation 20:15, we read this, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you are to be saved from the lake of fire, your name must also be recorded in the book of life. That's right. In all of these instances where we read of books, the purpose of the book is suggested in its name. The word book indicates the medium by which the purpose of the writer is accomplished. In Matthew 1:1, for example, Matthew's purpose in writing was to tell us about the generation, that is, the lifetime of Jesus Christ on the earth before he ascended back to his Father. Well, we can gather all the Holy Scripture into one book, and we call it the book, the Bible. Is there one grand theme, one grand purpose for the writing of the Bible? What is the purpose for this great book? The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy by saying, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." 2 Timothy 3:14-17. We learn from this text that all of the Scripture that has been inspired or breathed out by God is of use for different things. For instance, there is teaching. If there is teaching to be done, you can teach from this book. If there is reproof, you can reprove people from this book. If there is correction to be made, then correction can be made by the instructions from this book. And if there's training in righteousness, if you need to be teaching people how to live righteously, then this is the book for it. And what is its purpose? That the man of God, the person of God, may be competent, equipped for every good work. Yes, friends, this book we call the Bible is a great tool. It's a great resource. And its purpose is to draw us nearer to the teaching of God, to make us competent, to equip us so that we can be doers of every good work. Do you want to be a man or a woman of God? Well, this is the purpose of Scripture. This is the purpose of the Bible. Salvation is necessary because sin is in the world and in you and me. That's right. And so all Scripture is breathed out by God because He wants the people of the world to be saved from the consequences of their sins. The only way that God could justify forgiving mankind is by the sacrifice of His own Son on our behalf. That's right. Just as by the one act of Adam we all were turned away from the tree of life, by Jesus' one act of righteousness on the cross, we can now have access to God's eternal life. That's right. The Apostle John gave the reason for his book as follows. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20:30-31. Yes, the Bible tells you what to do to be saved by Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus as the Christ, the anointed of God, the Son of God. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Furthermore, Jesus said, repent of your sins. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he said in Matthew 10:32-33, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so, friends, confession of our faith, acknowledgement of our faith in Jesus is necessary here on this earth. In Mark 16:15 beginning, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And so we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. Friends, are you ready to fulfill the purpose of the Bible in your life? Are you ready to become a Christian? Obey the gospel of Christ while you have breath, while you have life. Obey today.